Amen. That must have been how Moses was feeling when he said, "Show me your glory." You know, he'd been there with him. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, I got to read that because it just spoke to me today just in such a wonderful way, as long as I don't have too many things in the way here. Praise you, Jesus. Moses said in Exodus 33 to God, he said, "If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." And the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." It's no wonder Moses said, "Show me your glory. Show me your glory, Lord." Amen. Hallelujah. Don't you just love to party? Praise the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. You know, I read a testimony of something, and they were talking about that there was a drought in a place, and someone came and announced the drought has ended. And this is in a meeting. They're having a great meeting, and some people get up and go out right after she said that. And they never came back. And then a few more got up and went out. Pretty soon everybody was out there because they were dancing in the rain. Everybody was out dancing in the rain. They weren't walking out on God. They were going out to get poured on, you know. A little unsettling for the person who said it, but, you know, believe it. Believe it. You know, if you read that in Exodus, and that's not where we're going, I don't believe, but maybe it is. But, you know, Moses, God said, "I'm going with you." And a little bit later, Moses said, "Now, if you don't go with us, this ain't going to be a good trip. We ain't going if you don't go with us." And I thought, God just said, "I'm going with you." But Moses wanted to be sure. You know, "I will enter your gates with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I will enter your courts with praise." We come into your presence. Thank you. Yeah. With voices raised, woo! We give glory and honor and power to you, Lord. Oh, yeah. He's worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. You know, that's what the Bible says. Those words are in the Bible. They are in the Bible. They weren't for them, they were for us. Right? Well, I don't know. They were already doing it. They probably practiced it. Those things are probably written after it had happened. "You are my refuge and my fortress, my God and my strength. Look unto me and save me, O Lord." Amen? You know? I mean, those are wonderful words. Beautiful words. Wonderful words of life. That's about all I remember of that song, but I remember we sang it, you know. And the Bee Gees sang, "They're only words, and words are all I have to do something. Take your heart away." I don't know. I can't, you know. But anyway, they're words. They're words. The word of God is mighty. In the beginning, God said, right? And so what he says is what can get us engaged. You know, not to see somebody else engaged, but to get us engaged. You enter in to his presence with thanksgiving in your heart. You enter into his courts with praise. You. It's that thing we learned in English. You understood. Right? That was what the teacher said. The you is understood. It's you understood. How many times in your life, going to school, Was that said in English class? It's a you understood subject. It's true. It's true. It's understood that it's for you, correct? It's understood that it's for you. Lord, if we found favor, Lord, show us your way. And God said, I'll be with you. I will lead you. I will lead you. I will lead you. This week somebody was talking to me about that transition at 70. Apparently, I wasn't born in 1953. Perhaps I was born in 1975. Because I'm only going to shift gears. Up, 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 up. Right? Closer to God. More expectant from God. Knowing Him better. Right?
We have hope.
Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. And hope maketh not ashamed. We got hope. We got hope. We've got high hopes. We've got. We know exactly what's going on at all times. That's right. That's right. We know exactly what's going on at all times. We know that God is great and that He is able. And we don't have to have the definition or the total explanation. We know the one who does. Ask my dad. Just ask my dad. Amen? Amen. Yeah, well, as I wrote in the devotion, my tractor is sitting in a perfect spot. It's sitting in a plot spot where maybe it can be towed to get fixed. You know, it starts great, and all the hydraulics are great. I don't think I have any leaks even because I've gotten all the hoses fixed. Everything is great, but the clutch. The clutch ran out of adjustment. It ran out. Danica, you want to come help me preach? Yeah? Well, quit preaching to your grandma. I'm preaching to your grandma, okay? Four-year-olds don't pitch fits, and four-year-olds don't distract grandma. Anyway, yes. So it ran out of adjustment, and it won't engage. And as I looked at that, you know, it has been adjusted before, and it has worked. And adjusted again, and we discussed that it was going to run out of adjustment sometime. And I knew that it was at least needing adjusting again because it became slower and slower. And before it quit, I thought, okay, I'm gonna drive this down for somebody to look at. And by this time, getting out of the back road back here, it was just a little too steep. Yeah, that's how it was. But I was almost out, and my neighbor came home, and so I backed up and backed down. I backed down quite a ways so I could get a run at it. And I mean, we're talking barely. And I got up to the stop sign, and I thought that if I could make the curve, I could take the downhill slope down Main Street. And I made it. And I backed it up into Mike's tires so they could look at it, and he adjusted it, and then he tried to drive it, and then he was as stuck as I was. I couldn't get up back on the road to get headed home, so he just got in his pickup and shoved me to the, you know, and so I'm going, and I turned the stop sign, and when I turned and I looked to the south, I just put it in park because I knew I couldn't make that mountain coming south in town. You know, if you ever noticed how steep a slope gets, like when you're low on gas, or if your clutch isn't working, well, anyway, I did get it home, and it's parked there. It just won't go. And as I looked at that, I thought, you know, sometimes in our lives with Christ, our clutch can start slipping. You know, we can gradually run out of power. You know, we can ever so gradually move into forgetting to trust, even if we can't see it. We can begin to look at the problem rather than at the solution. And we know, just like I knew that it was trouble. I knew as it slowed down. I knew. And when I was positive, I got back and out of the way of things, and I knew, and I hoped that it maybe, you know, if I left it set, then maybe it would work the next time, maybe. Maybe if I left it set long enough, I would have plenty to get it somewhere, you know. But I was pretty sure we had trouble in River City. I was pretty sure. You know, Music Man, we got trouble right here in River City. Okay. We know. God does not leave us ignorant. We know when it's slipping. We know it. We know it, but man alive, just don't have time to pray. I got so much going on. I I'll get time to go to church. You know, some people come to that, well, you know, you don't have to go to church. You don't. But I'm always glad when we're gonna have church. I'm always excited. I just love worshiping together. I love worshiping by myself, but I love worshiping together. You know? And if we get worn down, if we get tired, we know something's slipping, and we know, you know, I mean, like, okay, if I went to a lower gear because I go into a lower gear, I thought it would work better, but my clutch was in such a condition that even a lower gear, when you got no clutch, it don't matter what gear you're in, you know? It just ran out of engagement. And I thought about Mary when she clung to Jesus, and Jesus said, "Don't cling to me now." We can cling to him, because he is where he said that he needed to be. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. We can cling to him. We can clutch him. That's what Mary was doing. She was clutching the Lord. You know? What should we do when it's slipping? Cling to the Lord. Say to the mountain, be removed. Say to that mountain of excuses. Say to that mountain of rationalization. Say to that mountain of doubt, say to it, be removed and be cast into the sea. I'm clutching. I'm engaging in what will work. I'm engaging in the one. He never runs out of clutch. He never runs out of adjustment. We can always adjust. You know? And he never derides or belittles us for having to adjust. He says, just come on back. Come on back. Come back to the place that you know. Go to that place that's higher than you. Come on. Come on back. Come on back. Get back. Get back. Get back to where you once belonged. Get back. Get back. Come on, everybody. Get. I'm sure glad he has fun. You know, get back, JoJo. Get back, Roger. Get back. Get back to where you belong. You know? I will get a brand new clutch. Maybe rebuilt. I don't care. If it works, that'll be fine. They can drag it out of one that's been sitting in the woods. You know, old machinery sometimes ends up sitting in the woods, getting old, decaying. Right? Unlike that old machinery that takes a lot of work, all we got to do is engage. All we got to do is decide, you know what, I'm going to come out of the woods. I don't need to be staying here. We come to ourselves and we look at it. What am I doing sitting here? See? He came to himself. Isn't that what Nebuchadnezzar did? Yeah. He's out, got long, long nails, hair all over, eating grass. And all of a sudden he said, what am I doing? There's only one God. We ought to worship him. Isn't it crazy they gave him back his job? Can you imagine he comes walking in looking like a cow going, everybody, praise the Lord. And they say, oh, here's your job back. Boom, right back where he belongs. Get back, Nebuchadnezzar. Get back. Get back to where you once belonged. Spirit of the Lord must have spoke to him and said, get back. Get back. Speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Look into the mirror and say, get back. Get back. Get back to where you were. I don't care. You don't have to use that song. But speak to yourself. Say, what? Why art thou disquieted within me, O soul? It isn't like people were lining up to put a new clutch in my tractor, so it's not like I put it off. But miracle of miracles, all of a sudden, I'm going to end up, now I'm speaking by faith because I have hope, but I have been told I will have my skid loader running. When the skid loader's running, I ain't going to care that much about the tractor, but I think I'll fix it anyway. Get back. Get back. Get back to where you once belonged. Engage. Engage in your relationship with God. Fight the good fight. Put on the garment of praise. You know? Put it on. I don't care if you like how it fits. I don't care if you like how it looks. I don't care if you feel like, I don't care. Put on that garment. Put it on. Put on the garment of praise. Worship the Lord in the spirit of holiness. Lift up your voice to God. Engage. When the woman at the well met Jesus, she was looking to get engaged. She was looking for something. She didn't know she was looking for something. But in the midst of that conversation, she said, "Hey, why do you say we got to go to a certain place to worship?" That must mean she was thinking about worship. Can you imagine when she was thinking about worship, how the devil would say, "What are you doing worshiping? You've had five husbands, and the guy you're with now, you ain't even married to." And she always had people to remind her, you know, the other ladies in town. I'm sure they were real encouragers. Don't go near her. Don't go near her. You know what she does. That's why she was at the well all alone, and there she was, and out of her mouth comes this, "Hey!" And out of Jesus' mouth comes, "I tell you what, the time is coming, and now is, when you just worship in spirit and in truth." What's that? "Well, go get your husband, and I'll tell you." "I don't have a husband." She spoke the truth. She spoke the truth. She said, I don't have a husband." "You're right. You've had five. And the one you're living with is not your husband." Whoa! This guy knows everything. I didn't put her down. That raised her up. And when she went back, she said, "You've got to come out and see this guy. This is the Messiah." She said to him, "You must be a prophet. You must be a prophet." This woman had thought about some things, you know. She had some things going. You might think about some things, and you need to engage. You might be wondering about some things that you don't know that you're wondering about, and then you've got to engage. 40 years ago, we were packing to come back here. I think we showed up in March, didn't we? February, okay. So yeah, this is January. Anyway, we were packing to come back here with, I don't remember having any great plan except finding Jesus. Now, in hindsight, that sounds a little crazy. It does. I agree. Didn't seem crazy to me. I don't think it seemed crazy to Vicky. She's the one that said okay to coming back. So we were two crazies thinking about something. We were looking and we didn't know we were looking. And then we found and we just wanted to find more. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who finds a treasure in a field. And he buries it and goes and sells everything that he has to buy the field. We engaged in what was foolish to the world. But there were some people that said, "Keep serving the Lord." I didn't know I was serving the Lord. I thought I was looking for the Lord. You know? But there were plenty that were perfectly willing to keep it in neutral. That's okay. That's okay. Because God had already engaged things. He'd already put them in motion. And he was faithful somehow to keep it in motion. The clutch just never disengaged. If you can't get something out of gear, you got to keep driving it. You know? I've picked rocks and let the tractor go real slow to pick up rocks. But you might sometimes have to stop it. If you can't get a rock in all right away, you know, I mean, there's things that get in the way. But God will keep us going right through everything that might get in the way. And there's no slippage to him. There's nothing, nothing like that. He doesn't slip. We might. But you know, when we do slip, we have the Holy Spirit who might remind us. And if the Holy Spirit reminds us, we should engage in what the Holy Spirit says, right? But there is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. It's always with the same thing to keep us going. Always. And if we find ourselves in the woods, out of commission, look up. For our redemption draweth nigh. That woman at the well was clinging, just like Mary was clinging to Jesus. And the Bible indicates in numerous places, cling to him. Run to him, run to him. Tell him he's the one. I love that chorus. It was a worship chorus. I don't even know all the words, but that's okay. I did look up the words. I've got the words printed somewhere. I don't know what they were. It wasn't a worship chorus. I know. It was an old song. But to me, old songs are worship songs. You transform them. I had a gal in jail who has been gone, but back. And we were sitting there, and I just happened to use an old chorus from before I was saved. And she looked at her friend and said, "See, I told you, he can convert any song. Transformed by the renewing of our minds." But you see, we must stay engaged. We must. Renewed, restored in our youth. Our first love. Our first love, and you know, our first love was nothing compared to our love now. The thing is we were more engaged. First, I thought it was infatuation. But oh, it lasted so long. Now I find myself wanting to marry you and take you home. Old song, great song. You know? Oh, I think Bobby Vinton sang it once. I don't know who wrote it, you know. It was a while ago. Probably before you were born. I don't know. But you know, I mean that's the thing is at first there were some who thought we were infatuated with the Lord. That do anything to get our hands on him. That's how I was with Vicky. Anything. You know? It ain't supposed to die. I look forward to when it's safe to put my hands on her without hurting her. Well, not just because. I reached out for her one night in bed and she about flew out of the room. I sleep like this now, kind of. I get out of bed. Like this, kind of. Not because I don't want to hurt her. You know? We're beyond engaged. We're married. Folks, we need to understand that there is no failure on the Lord's part. There's no. And it will always engage. What we need to determine is that we're just going to stay engaged. We're gonna stay. Won't you stay? That's what the Lord said. And Moses got so excited, he just finally said, "Show me your glory." And God said, "I'll put you in a rock and you can see my backside. You can't see my face, and love would be too much for you to handle." Someday we're going to see him face to face. And that'll be glorious. But before we see him face to face, let's look for his face. Let's stay engaged. It's not, "Well, maybe someday." "Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away." What's wrong with this life? This life is great in Christ. This life don't beat us down in Christ. It may make us limp once in a while. You know? It may get us looking for the trees to just go sit there for a while. But when we come to ourselves and we declare, you know, there's no God like our God. You know, you can declare that anytime, at all times, in all circumstances. There is no God like you. Nothing could be better than worshiping you. You are almighty. You are above all things. You are my everything. Hear that, devil? He's my everything. And all of a sudden, your engine starts, it jumps into gear, and there you, all you got to do is steer. Amen? Amen. I pulled the old trick the other day with my car because of the fact that the tractor wouldn't finish cleaning up. I had some places where it's a little deep, and places where it's a little deep are not necessarily friendly to my car. And so I'm shoveling and I'm pushing. And then I said, "Wait a second, with my old Datsun, I could put it in gear and then get out and push it and catch it. I'm going to do it again." And I did. All of the above. I put it in gear, I got out, I pushed it, and it took off. And I ran and I caught it and I got in and I was in good shape. And I thought, still got it. Oh, Lord.
You better put a disclaimer in there. Don't tell other people to do that.
Why?
They might not be as fast. The car might be faster than them.
Oh, I don't tell other people to do it. I just do it. Now, I wasn't positive. It was a quick sprint. And the garage was very close. So I had to catch it, get in before, because if my door was open, it was going to hit the corner of the garage. I mean, this was a well-timed engagement with God. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. That's another worship song. I think that when she sang that, people made fun of her. But she might have had a lot of faith. Okay, maybe she didn't. But you don't know. She was singing about the Lord. Okay, Lord, keep us engaged. The folks are tired of me. I'm just kidding. Father, thank you. You do. You're always ready. You're always there for us. You never stop working. When we can't see it, you're working. When we can't feel it, you're working. You're so amazing. Lord, we just declare that we're engaged. And we need eyes to see if we're letting up. We need eyes to see if we're losing speed. We need ears to hear you to say, "Pick it up, pick it up, pick it up." We need more of you. It'll never different until we are there with you and we see you face to face and we experience all your glory. But for now, Lord, we're engaged. We're engaged and moving. In Jesus' name we declare it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.